Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture today is James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will face stricter judgment. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is mature, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, it sets on fire the cycle of life, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of bird, beast, and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord, and with it we curse people, made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes a blessing and a curse. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or grapevine figs? No more than salt water can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord. James is a very practical book. It is immensely concerned with how we actually live out the lives of being Christians. It's practical to the point that Martin Luther didn't really like it that much because he felt like it was putting deeds over faith as a means to be saved, which we don't really agree with that idea, but it is something that he thought, that great reformer. It is the one book in the New Testament, according to some commentaries, that could be considered a book of wisdom. So putting it in a similar vein to Proverbs, practical things that we should be doing or not doing. And in our previous passage, we have the portion that Martin Luther wasn't as big a fan of. We have this very large emphasis on deeds as a part of our faith. And after deeds, James turns his attention to words. And he spends a good deal of time on words in this book. And words absolutely deserve a lot of our time. Especially now, words have a massive amount of reach. Back then, letters could go pretty far, but now anything that you write online is technically, or at least there's a theory, that it is preserved for as long as the internet will exist. Anything that we say from up here or in a microphone here is recorded and will exist as long as YouTube or Facebook deigns to allow that video to survive. Words have reach that will go probably beyond our lifetimes. It's not just that they reach a lot of people, but words are also a lot of how we get defined as people. Not just the words that are placed upon us, but the things that we say outside of our deeds, so the things that we actually do, the way that most people are going to perceive each one of us are the words that we say. People can't just read our minds and figure out what we meant or figure out what we're thinking, but rather put a picture of us together based on our deeds, yes, but also the words and the things that we say. And words have the power to do a lot of things. Words have the power to bring people together and tear people apart. They have the power to show someone love, but also to make someone feel hatred. They have the power to both start and end wars. Words do a whole lot of different things. Words even have power when we don't speak. There's a song that I like that's by some band. It's hardcore rock, but it's called Silence and there's a line in it that says your silence speaks volumes. And to me, that hits hard, because even when we don't say something in certain situations, that says something anyway. Words are important. But even that, this portion that tells us how much of our lives are controlled by words, James spends a great deal of time talking about how such small things control so much of who we are and who we are perceived as and what we do. And yet the verse that sticks out to me is verse 9. I'm going to read it again. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and we curse people made in the likeness of God. That verse really struck me as I read this passage, as I was trying to decide which lectionary text to preach on. That verse is what jumped out and pulled me into this one. A cool thing mentioned by a commentary that I did not pick up on until I read it is how this verse parallels Jesus' two commands for us, that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, which we praise God, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. In this version of the verse, we are not fulfilling both sides of the command. We are missing one, despite praising the one that has whose image those people are made in. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we come to here to church on Sunday morning, we sing praises to God, and yet I know that at least personally, sometimes I go home and think angry things about people that I saw say something that I didn't like online or that I didn't agree with. And it's easy to forget that they too have been made in the image of God. The words of the church itself have been used to push people out and to hurt people in the past. We have the indigenous peoples of the U.S. who were pushed out of their land by the ideas of manifest destiny, this idea that God wanted us to take over all of the space here. We have the fact that slavery was at one point supported by churches here, and segregation was supported as well. We were robbed of the voices of women for years and years and years, as they were not allowed to be ordained or to speak or to teach, again, based on words that were spoken by our churches. And our LGBTQ brothers, sisters, and siblings have been pushed out of their communities, or out of communities of faith, some of whom have found new ones, and some who are still looking, and some who have decided that it might not be for them. All of this exclusion is based on the words that we speak, based off the word of God, the most important word of all. All of these people that have been pushed out, and I forgot to mention the quote I wanted to mention earlier when I talked about the church's past with segregation and slavery. Martin Luther King, I believe, I hope I'm not misattributing this quote, says that we still feel the reverberations from all of that, as the most segregated hour in the U.S. is Sunday mornings, as our churches divide themselves based on race, based off of a very intricate and complex history of trying to figure out reunification, but not able to really sort it. Maybe one day. A few weeks ago, I preached a message that I preached at the Gen On Youth Summit, and I'm going to go back to what I said there again. I don't remember if I mentioned that in seminary, I was told that every pastor has one message that they kind of end up accidentally preaching their entire work. And I'm going to lay my cards out on the table here and tell you what mine is, because I figured it out. And don't worry, it won't be in every sermon, but you'll probably catch it pretty often. And that is that the image of God is in each and every person, and that gives us a unique lens to see God with. That extends into each and every person has a unique lens with which to read the Word of God and to share that Word of God back with us. We miss things when people are excluded. Using words to exclude people means that we have likely missed interesting, wonderful things. There are theologies that I like to call identity theologies, theologies that focus in on a particular form of existence that offers new ideas. Liberation theology, which is a theology predominantly out of African-American groups, but also came out of Mexico, that focuses on God's liberatory power and God's ability to give freedom. Queer theology tends to look at who gets excluded from stories in the Bible, what is missing, and who has been left out. Disability theology brings us into a mindset of that our bodies are actually something important. These are not mistakes that we have been given. These are an intentional choice by God to give us something to live with. And womanist theology focuses on the women's side of the Bible, not to mention God's feminine side, the creative side. There are theologies that we miss out on and ideas of God that we miss out on as we exclude people and as our words are used to exclude people. But I don't want to leave us with the idea that our words are only bad, because we have the power to bless and to curse. Words have creative power in the Bible. They're an important good for us as well. One, as I've mentioned already, the scripture is the word of God. It's a pretty good thing. I like this book. But there's also the fact that Jesus is called the word in John. Jesus is a pretty good word as well. And finally, in the creation narrative of the Bible, regardless of how literally you take it, the whole thing, our entire existence is started at the power of the Word. Existence itself comes out of God's Word spoken. So our words, the thing that God has gifted us with, have immense creative power, the ability to create a world that is better and more inclusive. I think it's important for us to remember the importance of words and the fact that everybody has the image of God, especially as we move even closer to Election Day. It's going to be easy for us when we see somebody on the opposite side of us politically to think bad things about them, to speak as if they maybe aren't very smart or at least haven't thought through things, or to think that they just don't like people for no reason. It's an easy step to accidentally take. It's important for us to remember that even the people that vote the other people on the ballot are still made in the image of God and deserve our love, our care, and our compassion. We don't have to agree with them, but we do have to care for them and make sure that they're okay. Friends, let us remember that we should use our words to bring people together rather than to tear them apart. To bring people into spaces of love rather into spaces of hatred. To make people feel that they are wonderful creations of God rather than trash discarded on the street. And that we should be using our words to bless rather than to curse. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.